So it's chapter 25 of the third canto, text number 4. Sutta Goswami said, "The most powerful sage, Maitreya, was a friend of Vyasadeva, being encouraged and pleased by Vidura's inquiry about transcendental knowledge. Maitreya spoke as follows." Okay. Sutta Goswami said, "The most powerful sage, Maitreya, was a friend of Vyasadeva, being encouraged and pleased by Vidura's inquiry about transcendental knowledge. Maitreya spoke as follows." Purport by His Divine Grace, we see Bhaktivedanta. Question and answers are very satisfactorily dealt with when the inquirer is bona fide and the speaker is also authorized. Here Maitreya is considered a powerful sage, therefore he is also described as Bhagavan. This word can be used not only for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but for someone who is almost as powerful as the Supreme Lord. Maitreya is addressed as Bhagavan because he was spiritually far advanced. He was a personal friend of Dvaipayana Vyasadeva, a literary incarnation of the Lord. Maitreya was very pleased with the inquiries of Vidura because they were the inquiries of a bona fide advanced devotee. Thus Maitreya was encouraged to answer. When there are discourses on transcendental topics between devotees of equal mentality, the questions and answers are very fruitful and encouraging. Om Agyana Chinirandasya Kedandana Shalakaya Chakshu Kundalikanena Dasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manovishtam Stapitam Yena Gurukale Svayam Rupa Karamayam Jayate Swaha Padanti Vande Vam Shri Guru Shri Guruta Patakamam Shri Guru Vaishnavam Cha Shri Rupam Satyajatam Sahagana Raghunatam Vitamtam Sajivam Sadvetam Savarutam Parijana Sahita Krishna Chaitanya Deva Shishivada Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakha Pancha Kalpa Yubhishya Kripa Hindubhishya Patitanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo. So you're all bona fide listeners, so you can pray that I'll be a bona fide speaker. And Krishna will use me. One big Christian preacher in America, he has a group of people that pray for him while he's giving his talk. Pray that he'll be able to speak nicely. Special group just for that. So he's got some humility, understand, he needs help. But we can only speak more or less according to the audience. We get inspired when somebody sincerely, every devotee gets inspired to meet someone who really wants to hear something about Krishna, who has a Parikrishnena, that humble inquiry. There are unbona fide inquiries like we get sometimes in public, like challenging. You know, he said this, or someone else said that, and we don't like this. That kind of inquiry doesn't produce nice fruit, doesn't produce nice discussion. In fact, there's no use even pursuing it. You just get an argument. Some people like to argue. Like sometimes when we have brought the actors in the West, they have a question and answer who the people ask questions. Usually they're quite nice, but every once in a while you get some heckler, so-called Christian, and they just want to take up all the time and give their own philosophy. Usually the other people drive them out. There's no use. They won't accept the peace of those kind of people because their only purpose is to make trouble, those kind of inquiries. There's that Mr. Patel, there's so many morning walks with Srila Prabhupada in Bombay. And he was Prabhupada's aide, Prabhupada considered him like a friend. And it's very funny because you never hear otherwise, but they're both shouting at the same time, you know. Both, and he knew so many slokas, but he had a lot of my way, you know, tendencies. The Prabhupada was trying to put him down, and the Prabhupada said, you have to be submissive. And I am submissive. Prabhupada said, you're not submissive. I am submissive. You're not submissive. I am submissive. Prabhupada said, you always just argue. I don't argue. Well, yes, you do. No, I don't. Yes, you do. Finally, he admitted that he was arguing. But, you know, for Hindus sometimes that's completely very deep philosophical discussion. And then he started to listen, and later he said that was the best time of his life, you know, straighten him out. But it was friendly. So sometimes someone's challenging, or, you know, they don't understand that they're actually respectful, then we can talk. The people that are not respectful. So of course Vidura is the great devotee, and he's, you know, got unlimited desires to hear about Krishna. You know, when he first met Uddhava, and he asked, and Uddhava lost consciousness, you know, just thinking about Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan, he became bewildered. Because Uddhava had been to Vrindavan, and Uddhava was a great, great devotee, first cousin of Krishna, looks just like Krishna. Krishna's prime minister there in Dwarka, and he's with Krishna all the time. But when he saw the residents of Vrindavan, he was completely bewildered by their love. He was overwhelmed and completely changed his whole mentality, his whole life, that he prayed to become grass there around the overnight. He would be walked on by the gopis and get the dust of their lotus feet. So when he started remembering Krishna, then he couldn't speak, but then he sent Vidura to Maitreya because Maitreya was nearby, and Vidura was older than Uddhava. So in etiquette, if there is someone older nearby, it's not proper etiquette to teach in front of that Uddhava. So he's teaching us some etiquette. Of course, we don't go simply by age either. It's spiritual consideration. Some cultures are very concerned about just age. That's changing in the business world. In Japan, it's a very traditional thing that the older person is in charge. And that's why they, you know, and, the company Panasonic or National, or whatever we call it here, Matsushita, the boss of that is considered like the demigod of Japanese businessmen. And he went to America and he saw that young men were in charge of older men in different departments. And he asked the older man, how can you do that? How can you take instruction from a young guy? He said, well, he knows more than me. And he thought that sounds like a good idea. So his company, he does that. He places people according to their qualifications, that are just their age, and then the company flourished. So in spiritual life also, if someone is very, very advanced spiritually, then we don't say, well, he's too young, can't listen to him. We do have that problem. People have that mentality. But it's not a problem, it's not. We were just discussing at the Sunday at the Small Krishna appearance day, so we were discussing what burden this man took when the Prophet left. Then he employed for 8 or 9 years, 28 years old or something, suddenly in charge of the whole and thousands of employees, which is all, you know, quite a major thing. Because he got in power. A lot more than 5 years old. You know, we're reading of the preached. Major part of the Bhagavad Gita. So Sukadeva Goswami was young and apparently crazy. But as soon as he spoke, everybody could understand his position. And all the sages, demigods, the Lord Brahma, Narada Muni, even the guru of his guru, they all sat and listened very submissively and speak. Srimad Bhagavatam. So anyone can speak Srimad Bhagavatam. Prabhupada said it's very easy to be a guru. When he said that, it was in a class in Los Angeles, I think it must have been 1973 or something. So everybody was, what do you mean? Easy to be a guru. Because Prabhupada was so exalted and he was the only guru anybody ever knew of. Obviously, so superior to everyone else in age and in every way. And he just got very serious. He was almost crying. He said, "You just have to speak what Krishna spoke. That's all. You have to hand it down. You have to be a bona fide receiver." I just was listening to the class Prabhupada gave on this verse in 1974 in Bombay. So he gave an example, like if you're, sometimes the dictaphone gets broken, some machine. So we have to take it to the bona fide repair shop, right? To get it fixed. You have to find the person who knows that machine. He said if you take your dictaphone to the pan waller, then it's not very intelligent. It's like if you go looking for gold, you go to the grocery store. And if the person's a crookie, well, this guy's really stupid, and they'll give you something that looks like gold. They'll charge you gold price, give you a discount. It's a good deal, right? Give you a discount on this gold. So these things are going on. So when you want to know about Krishna, you have to go to the devotee of Krishna. You have to see. Who is a devotee of Krishna? That John Lennon, he asked Prabhupada, how do I know who's the advanced devotee of Krishna? Prabhupada said, whoever is the most addicted to Krishna. You know what addiction is? They have billboards in Bombay for Samsung phones. You'll get addicted to this. Addiction is generally considered bad. Because it generally refers to drugs or bad habits, drinking, cigarettes. But you can be addicted to chanting Hare Krishna, so that would be good. Addiction means you can't live without it. A drug addict will do anything to get the drug, to kill his mother, to do anything when he wants that drug. Can't think of anything else. Can't think he can live without it. So that's how we should be. In America, we have a lot of these people they call winos. They just live on wine. They process, almost they can't eat whatever they eat. They just live on wine. They never take a bath and sleep anywhere. All they do is beg for money to buy more wine. Everyone they see, can you give me a dime? Give me a nickel. So we were on a morning walk in Los Angeles and Prabhupada saw one of those guys waking up. He said, just see. And he doesn't care for family, society, nice clothes, anything. Only one. He said, we should be like that for Krishna. Not that we don't take baths and everything. Those people can go anywhere, people kind of avoid them, but they have a special group of undercover policemen that imitate them. And then they can hang around in front of them, just they don't pay attention to them. But for Krishna, addiction is good. Who feels like they have to be chanting all the time? Who feels like they have to be serving Krishna? Who's anxious to hear about Krishna? So when they hearer is bona fide and the speaker, then we get somewhere like Prabhupada said, just like if a man is potent and the woman is fertile, then when they combine, there will be children. Otherwise, if the woman is infertile or the man is impotent, there won't be children. So, if we are inquiring about Krishna from a non-devotee, that's condemned because it's like milk touched by the lips of a serpent. The milk is very, very nice, but if that cobra snake injected the poison in there, you can't sort it out. You can't take out the milk and leave the poison behind. You'll drink the poison, and it'll be poison. So, to hear about Krishna from the Maya body, from the non-devotees, is dangerous. We have to seek out the devotees. And we have to, as devotees, seek out people who want to hear about Krishna, give them a chance to hear from the devotees. Because there's so many non-devotees giving Bhagavad stuff to us, especially around here. So many Maya devotees. Because so many pilgrims come here because they're attracted to Krishna. So all kinds of people come here. Right? And many people, they put the name of Krishna on their own door. Put the name of Lord Chaitanya on themselves. You know, they do everything. So, we need to go out and not only hear about Krishna, but tell whatever we've heard, we have to share it. We can see in the morning for the offering flowers, so many people come. Right? But for the Bhagavatam class, not quite so many. And for getting out and preaching, even fewer. We were talking yesterday with one of my guests. Good old days. When we all went out early in the morning and came back at night, we did. She said we went out 9 o'clock, but we went at 6 o'clock. Actually, we did. For one long stretch, we were distributing one air, but we left the temple at 6 o'clock every morning. Took a little breakfast at the airport and stayed there till 6 o'clock. Except on Friday. And everybody was in ecstasy. There was no problem. What are the problems? But nobody cares. But that's what we need. That's meant for everybody. Anyone can talk about Krishna. Whatever you know, you tell people. You don't have to know so much. But whatever you realize, whatever you know, whatever you like about chanting Hare Krishna or taking prasadam or, you know, reading the book or looking at the deities, just tell someone. I like that. It's great. It makes me feel good. Saved my life. People have all kinds of stories. That's what people like on a personal interchange. The Christians call it witnessing. They go out and tell people, I've seen the much. Experience. I've had this experience. I was down, I was out, you know, I was under in the pit. Now I've been saved. So we all were. Even Prabhupada, who was, you know, pure his whole life, he said, my spiritual master saved me. So, we all experience this. If someone really wants to hear about Krishna, they become very, very happy. If you go out and you know, want to talk about Krishna, you'll find that so many people want to hear about Krishna. It's actually amazing. Although not everybody even knows, you know, who is Krishna, but they want to know something about the philosophy. Everyone's attracted on different levels. Bhagavad Gita covers every angle, yoga, meditation, bhakti, everything. So it's all Krishna. So we can present according to the people's position. You know, Krishna is unlimited. You have an unlimited aspect. And we can present whatever they're ready to take. Everybody ultimately wants that ecstasy. So we want to lure people into the temple and into kirtan, because that's what really wakes them up. Kirtan is very powerful. You might have been watching the news, New Vrindavan was planning this 24-hour kirtan. We were advertising all over the world. They said everything, you know, Shivaram Swami, Radhananda, everybody was going to be there. And I just got a letter from one devotee who went to it, said it was the best festival ever. I stayed 24 hours without sleeping. That's pretty good. Because the kirtan just transcends it. That we want to give that to, we want to take kirtan, everyone be in the kirtan, we want to chant all the time. We want to make it available to everyone, everywhere in the world. And of course, in India, there are many people there that haven't really heard the proper kirtan. But the rest of the world, I haven't heard anything. We don't know the name of it. But anyone who, you know, sees the Harinam party, they love it. I'm very, very happy. I have some movies I made in London, big Harinam. And I was asking people, you know, where you're from. They're from all over the world, but everybody liked it. Everybody said, it's great, yeah. What is it, you know? I'm from Turkey. And one guy, he was really like it, one guy. His whole family standing there, and they, so I said, oh, where are you from? They said, from Wales. You know, one of Wales. Far away part of England, the Welsh, had a very heavy accent from Wales, right? And he said, you know, I went to this temple 20 years ago. I had the best lunch ever. But only once he ever went to the temple and he remembered the lunch. And he was so happy, just people watching the Harinam, kids were all watching, his wife, everybody. And everybody, like almost everybody, very rare, you know, somebody doesn't like it. But they want to meet the devotees. They want to hear, what are you doing? Why are you doing this? You know, where can I find you guys? We had in Israel, some of the devotees say, Harinam is not good for Israeli people. But it was London last winter, one Israeli girl came running into the temple. And she was all excited. She said, I saw that in Harinam and I want to know what it's all about. And she practically joined up. I don't know what happened to her. She was coming every day. But the first thing she saw the devotees chanting the chant. That's a natural activity of the spiritual world is chanting the chant. According to Brahma. The loka, there's no walking, no dancing, no walking, no singing. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So Krishna says, Hare Krishna, Sevaya. It's submissive inquiry and service. Submissive inquiry means we're ready to, you know, we accept, okay, this person wants more than me. And whatever he answers, I'll accept. We may question because we don't understand. That's one thing, to ask for further explanations. Like King Rahugana, first he was chastising Jadvarat, calling him a fool and so many things. And I'm the king and you're disturbing my life. Then Jadvarat said, you know, you're in life. You think you're the king, but that's just a temporary position. Next life I might be the king and you might be the character. So the king realized that this man really had knowledge, spiritual knowledge. So he asked him to explain things. So he explained about this mind and, you know, very difficult actually, quite interesting. And then the king said, well, it's a little hard, but you could explain it in a more simple way. You know, I couldn't quite catch it. He didn't say, I don't know, just, you know, you're not speaking good enough. So he spoke it again. More simple way. Again, the king said, still too much. He spoke it more simple, the forest of enjoyment. He gave such simple example, you know, what our position is in this material world and how we're so entangled and how every effort to enjoy the material world just is nothing. Like a man who jumps in the river, but he didn't check how deep it was. Stuck his head at the bottom. That happened. It happened in my home. Some guy wants to show off and jump in the Ganga, but it's not funny sometimes. The we have to be careful. So we have to learn from Scripture what is the soul, what is this material world, and how to get out. We can't find our way out. You know, we need a map to get around material. Now we have to have a navigator, a satellite navigator. They have it in India, in the car. You know, they just tell it, I want to go to the Hare Krishna temple. And then it lights up and shows you all the roads and talks to you while you're driving. Turn left after 100 meters. Turn right after the shopping mall. The computer voice is very weird. You know, you can't find your way there easily. Take a long time to hit the middle. Even to just get, you know, if you want to walk to some temple here in the valley, there's so many. You have to know the little roads. So many back roads to get to the place. They need a guide, they need a map, and even if they have a map, they need a guide, a compass, so many things. So to get out of the material world, we need to go into like guru, spiritual master, someone to show us the way, someone who is representing Krishna. Living, you know, for example, the Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam. So like Prabhupada, he encouraged us very much to read all of it so we would know, you know, what's right and what's wrong and what's cheating. Right? If you know, you know, what the product is, then you won't get cheated to get the imitation. Now when we many places, you know, when you give the money, they put it in a machine to check if it's real money. People have fake money. But if there's imitation, counterfeit, there's also real. So many people say, well, there's so many gurus, I've tried so many things, I've checked so many religions, and they're all don't work. But there must be a real one somewhere, in other words, it wouldn't be so many imitation. Unreal. So Srimad Bhagavatam, Krishna Bhagavad Gita, we want to study it, we want to know it. So when we hear someone speaking, we can know they're speaking what Krishna spoke. What Krishna spoke. But maybe in a, that's how Krishna gets through to us, through other, his representatives, his devotees, or we can have personal relationships. We can inquire submissively, and we can render service, because that rendering service that humbles us, and it also pleases Krishna to see that someone wants to serve as a devotee, and in Krishna's heart helps us to understand. Tesham satyate yuktanam bhajatam prithipurukam dhanami kundiyomantam yenamam kundiyomantam. For one who's always engaged in my service, and I give understanding by which he will come to me. We want to stay engaged in the service, hearing, chanting, remembering, worshiping the Lord's feet, worshiping the deity, making friends, being in service, and surrendering everything. Atma Nivedana. And Prabhupada explained that Atma Nivedana, that means Krishna. Giving up everything. Krishna. We have to leave a lot of things behind. I was just thinking this morning. We hear that story sometimes when the gopis wanted to cross the Manasi Ganga, the boat. And this old, you know, this young kind of dragon looking boatman came with the old boat. And they started crossing the river towards Krishna. And then there was a big storm. And they all got scared, and Krishna said, you have to throw all your jewelry, you have to throw all your silver, your milk pots, everything overboard. It's too heavy. So they did, in a panic. Then, still, the storm got worse, and said, you have to throw all your jewelry over, and all your, and all your clothes, you know, to make it. He was plugging the leak in the hole with his finger. So if we want to really go with Krishna and go back to God, we have to leave everything, all our stupidity, all our attachments, all our
their own desire and throw them overboard.
You know, like if you're on the airplane, I don't know if it's ever happened. On the airplane, you know, they always give you all this information if you crash in the water. You know, here's your life jacket, slide down the thing, and I never heard of it happening actually. One time in Japan, actually, the pilot drove the plane right in, but it was very shallow water. He just landed in the water. Crazy. But, you know, you don't leave everything behind. You don't bring your hand luggage with you. You know, if you have to sail up, right? If you have to slide down the slide, if you have to get in the light bulb on a ship, you don't take all your stuff with you. You just get in the boat. You don't care, right? If it saves your life, you don't care that you left all your money and all your baggage and all your fancy clothes and whatever behind. You don't worry, right? All the things that you might have been shopping for so carefully and planning to buy your own life, you don't care. You know, when the bombs are falling in the war and you have to evacuate people, they want to get out of there. They did have problems in New Orleans, where, you know, it was flooded up to 18 feet. People were sitting on the roof of their house. And the army came in boats, and some people wouldn't go. They wouldn't leave their house. And it was nothing. The water was going to be there for weeks, and the house was completely flooded. There was no food. But still, they're thinking, I can't leave my house. And the army couldn't do anything. But if we want to really go to Krishna, then we give up. But when we give up everything, we get much more as we get Krishna. These things that we have to give up are all temporary burdens anyway. The first Hare Krishna drama I ever saw was Tribhuvan Swami. I was on suicide, I was on pretty good devotee. And he came through, and he was one of the first sannyasis. So him and his brahmacharya, they did a lot of drama. He used to do it a lot called the rocks. There's three guys and they're carrying big bags full of stones. Their job. A lot of people still doing that. And then across the river there's a kirtan party. They say, come on, come on. So the first guy says, I can't come. I have to carry these stones. My father carried stones. My grandfather carried stones. Great-grandfather, my dharma, I have to do it. So he walked on. The second one was thinking, well, that kirtan looks really good, and I'll just take my stones and swim over it. So he jumped in the river and drowned, holding on to the stone. Then the last one, after seeing all that, threw away the stone, swims across and joins the kirtan. And that's simple, but that's the thing. Become absorbed in Krishna. It's like if you want to swim, you have to go into the water. You can't swim on the floor. You have to get in the air in order to swim. So we have to get into this spiritual life. Make it. There's nothing to lose. One Jaya Bhadra Marsh one time in New York. Policemen, they drove up early morning and they said, what do you have to do to join the Hare Krishna? And he said, you have to give up all suffering. Quite intelligent, right? They said, well, that sounds good. They went to the temple, bought a couple of books, and drove off. But that's all we really have to give up, is our misery and foolishness. We have nothing, actually, that's really ours. Everything belongs to Krishna. So the only thing we have to give up is the idea that it belongs to me. Then someone may be very rich and may be very powerful and may have, you know, thousands of employees and factories and houses. But if he understands it all belongs to Krishna, and I knew Krishna's just given it to me, and I leave it all in his service, then that's fine. He doesn't have to go live on the street and move up to the brahmacharya ashram. But someone else may, like we see homeless people
I suppose in India also.
They may have, sometimes I think they have many plastic bags just full of garbage. But they're very attached. They have them all tied together. If you try to take one, they start fighting. Mine. Mine. This is my space. So they sleep on the footpath. But they're an illusion, even though they don't have anything. Whatever they have, they think it's mine. That's the beginning of all Maya. It is I and it is mine. It is Krishna, and I'm the servant of Krishna. That's all there is to it. So the more we hear about Krishna, we dance with the deities, dance in the kirtan, talk about Krishna, take prasadam, offer bhoga to Krishna. All this is so nice life. It's very easy. Simple. And joyful. Krishna says it's joyful. So we want to rehab it. We want to give it. When you have something valuable, you should want to share it. Some people think, well, if I give it, then I'll lose. But when you give Krishna, you just give more Krishna. Lord Chaitanya even said, I can't do it alone. There's so many fruits of love of Godhead in this garden. I can't distribute them all myself. I need a lot of more. So there's so much to distribute. So many books, so much prasad. What if they're doing more and more and more? In Delhi now, they're distributing about... Delhi distributes 100,000. Between Delhi and Noida and Punjabi or something, more than 200,000 school lunches every day. Bombay, also like that, 100,000. Jain, 20,000. So every temple. And so many books. India was 3/4 of the world book distribution was in India last year. Which is nice for India, it doesn't say much for the rest of the world. In Prabhupada's time in India, it's impossible to distribute books in India. Everybody knows already, everybody says they already have books, and they still say that. But the devotees became determined to convince them this Bhagavad Gita is better than the other one. Right? Different. And now they're realizing more and more. So we're hoping some of the Indians that are really strong book distributors will come across, go across the ocean. I don't know where it came from, but they say the Hindu sannyasi shouldn't cross the ocean. He's still there. Now they all do, they follow Prabhupada. One radio guy asked Prabhupada way back. Prabhupada said, Lord Chaitanya said, every town and village, he knew I was coming. Every town. So the world is waiting for everywhere, every town and village, everywhere in the world is waiting. We just have, you know, everyone has some religion. I was just in China. We went to one very old, famous Buddhist temple. It had been burned down and destroyed during the so-called cultural revolution. But now, and it's very high in the mountains, but the Buddhist people have built this beautiful road all the way up there. You know, and roads cost a lot of money. The people have donated. But there was one house. There was a temple, a couple of temples, and then up the hill was the house that had been burned down. They said that house was the head monk. That was his house. And it burned down. But the people said it burned down because the monk shouldn't be higher than Buddhist. Even though the guru can be called Bhagavan, you know, he can be called Sakshadhari and all these things. If he ever considered himself better than his guru or better than Krishna, or not. Sometimes Krishna lets them get away with it for a while. Like some of these many people claim to be Krishna. But with the special hell waiting for them. And all their sorrow. Now they're enjoying I'm God and whatever. Other than somebody and everybody's worshiping me and everything is alright. But special hell is waiting. Someone else may be a devotee and doesn't look like Things are going very nicely for them.
Body is racked with all kinds of diseases being harassed by other living entities. Dogs around here. They're already going, "Rah, rah, 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 rah." "Get out, get out, what are you doing?" Right? Because those dogs are dark at the monkey, it's really dark. And then the Adi Gaidic measures are there. If you see any news, you'll see that, everyone is worried about Adi Gaidic. Floods, tornadoes, hurricanes, tsunamis, tsunami from Japanese word, tidal wave. There's a temple in one town in Japan. Actually, the town is still a temple. It's far off place in Japan, but it's mostly a temple. Buddhist temple. Demigod temple. So there's one Buddha, Dai Bhutsu, called the Big Buddha. Buddha is 15 meters big. He has his hair on his head, it's as big as your head, one tuft of hair. And that's 1 mile from the shore. But something like, there's no temple, it's just sitting outside. Something like 1,000 years ago, a tsunami came. And it went 1 kilometer, I usually don't go that far, 1 kilometer. Wiped out the whole temple, but left Buddha sitting there. So I guess they thought he doesn't have a temple. So he's just sitting there. I'm sure nature is very helpful. I was in Phuket, Thailand. And many devotees have their shops there right across the road from the beach. They all got wiped out. And one big ship was like a half a mile away from the shore. Sitting there. The waves were so big. One hotel had a car and a little stuff right through the roof. In nature, just a small little survival of the hurricane. But so the material world is not like such a wonderful place that we want to make a permanent residence. Get that conclusion. Ahani, ahani, bhutani, ahoya, yamala. Everybody's gone to Yamaraj in the past, but everyone is thinking, I will make a permanent residence in the material world. You just hear this of that statement. But we can live happily in any condition in the material world. Fully Krishna conscious, that is the fact. Fully feel safe, die, maybe in the flood, maybe in the tornado, anything can happen. But if they remember Krishna, Prabhupada said when the bombs were dropping in India in World War II, he said, they saw the universal form. But I did not like that form. So just remember Krishna, it's easy around here. People are chanting, everywhere you look. Every time I walk out around here, there's a new temple I've never seen before. But there's nobody in it. This one's always cool. But this one is attracting more and more temples. When this temple was opening, Prabhupada asked, "Do you think anyone will come to the temple that's so far away?" Because between this way, there's nothing. Just forest. Trees. And Nilagai. And this way, there was some of the older ashrams that were still there. But everyone said, otherwise, no. Until you get to the Nilagai. And Prabhupada was wondering, if there's thought behind all those temples are right in the center. Will anybody come to the temple so far? But then gradually, we were telling Prabhupada that so many people are coming to this. Krishna and Balaram are attracting them. They're so attractive. Now people are coming from all over the world. Just to come to Vrindavan. We want to go out from Vrindavan. the wall of the light, chant the holy name of wherever you're worshiping Krishna, wherever you're chanting. Okay, any questions? Srinivasa Prabhupada told me last night that this is the first time in 108 years that the rainy season started now. 1 month earlier. So that's just another symptom of how you get everywhere. Head down to Panama, he was president here for 10, 15 years ago. He said you could always know exactly the season. They always came exactly on time. But now, nobody ever knows exactly when the rain is going to come and it's going to end. And that's going on everywhere. Because there's no yoga. People are just doing all demoniac things. So we want to do lots of yoga. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. Thank you very much for tolerating. I had a quick stay in Vrindavan, I believe, this afternoon. Hare Krishna.